I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Curie here. I've come across something that actually is going to make me sleep so much better tonight, Alex.
Is this one of those endorsements, Scott?
No, this is news to know, and it's things that, you know, will give your life clarity and calmness and peace. And would you like to know what it is?
Feels like an endorsement. Is it some
no,
sort of a mattress?
No, it's not an endorsement. Okay. Although there are some things. let me just say it this way. There are some things that we endorse that help me out. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, all right.
And they do make me sleep better at night.
There you go.
This is the news. Tim Tebow is not going to be joining Urban Meyer as a player or as a coach. He's still going to be doing the baseball thing. Whew. I'm so glad
for
that.
So wait now, is it because they're inseparably connected still from their time together at Florida? They're still best friends? Because I'll tell you right now, what would he join Urban Meyer in Jacksonville as?
He can't a coach,
but coaching what?
You know, he coaches the coaches.
He'd give the spiritual thought on game day. That's
maybe
what he would
could
do.
Be the team chaplain.
There you go.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying that,
you know, Luther Ellis, who was a great player for the Utes.
Yeah, was he one of your teammates up at Utah?
And no, he was a teammate of mine in the
later.
NFL with,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
with the Detroit Lions.
That's right.
He was actually the chaplain for the Denver Broncos when they won their Super Bowl, by the way.
What does the team chaplain for an NFL team do, buddy?
He's a spiritual advisor.
All right, guys, we're going to be meeting.
To
I know
the players.
We've changed a few things up. The cheerleaders are scantily clad in the south end zone. We're going to meet in the north end zone for the prayer.
Surprisingly, team chaplains are very popular.
All right.
Very popular.
Is there a bonus? Is there a bonus worked in the contract? Or is that a volunteer position?
I think they're paid.
No, really?
Yeah.
I like this.
Well,
I'm going to start applying for all the chaplain
Tim Tebow, he'd be a great chaplain.
Oh, are you kidding? Because he would be seamless between motivational locker room talk, which you tell me. Does motivational locker talk happen in the NFL still? Because in my mind, it's a bunch of guys who are just pros and do their gig. And I feel like that by the time you get to the pros, the spirit-raising speech by the coach doesn't happen anymore.
Here's the thing. Every NFL team I played on had a prayer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No,
I get that.
They had a prayer before the game, and they had a prayer at the end of the game, and the prayer was the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
Okay? So it was like
it was
I
universal,
can,
across the board.
I can recite the Lord's Prayer because I've had to say it so many
times. Yeah, but I'm saying, does a coach get up in front of everybody and still do the rah-rah speech? Because Urban Meyer, that's kind of his gig.
So here, all coaches are different, right? Coach Shula actually – he wouldn't necessarily – he would go, you know, he'd talk in this fast-paced voice, but he said the same exact thing every week, right? And it was – and so what he was is he was just an ultimate preparer. So you were so prepared when you went into a game, and so it was always that last-minute reminder, and that's what he did every week, right? But it was kind of his way of saying, this is that moment. This is where we go out. Every guy is different, but every guy is the same. And they're different in how they're motivated and what gets them motivated. Some guys need to hear a coach. Other guys listen to music. Other guys get really quiet. But everybody gets motivated. You have to be in a mindset. You have to it's like you're driving down the freeway and someone opens the door and you jump out. And so your feet better be moving, right? Because if not, you're going to just get run over.
That's the weirdest like description of what an NFL playing in an NFL game is like.
No,
that's how it would feel, because that's about how hurt you'd get too if you've never.
But I'm telling you, is the minute the game starts, it is fast paced, and the biggest adjustment for anybody is how fast the game is. Everybody's going at their like the very hardest, the fastest they could possibly go. And so stepping into that, like everything's calm and great on the sideline. And the minute you step on the field, the minute that first snap happens, I'm telling you, it's like getting dropped out of a car going 55 miles an hour and your feet better be moving. So however you get motivated, Alex, whatever floats your boat, whatever charges your engine, you use it. And every guy would use it. Now, some guys actually, you know, get old and they're so old that they're like, whew, I can't really get motivated. And so I'm just saying, never happened to me, but I did see a lot of players have assistance in getting themselves excited about going and playing a football.
Now,
we're talking about drugs.
Okay, yeah. We're talking about recreational drug use. Yeah. Illegal drugs.
Well, I don't know.
Illegal,
I mean,
drugs too, or
it wasn't. I don't know of illegal drugs, but it was like drugs that kind of, you know, pepped you up a little bit.
Were guys drunk playing football games?
All the time.
Oh my gosh!
In fact, people can play in the NFL.
People can play in the NFL.
Bruce Smith, Daryl Talley, and Thurman Thomas were drunk for 15 years.
Really?
I'm not exaggerating. And they just had a way to function being that way. And they knew
well, at
that,
some point that becomes the way that they function, which is
right.
That's weird.
Which is becoming an alcoholic.
But let me
that happened to Thurman Thomas.
That's insane. Yeah. I remember too, you telling me, I think guys fired up cigarettes at halftime, like, and before the game.
Biggest
too.
Surprise ever to me. First game in the NFL, preseason game. I had no idea what to expect. I didn't even play in the first half.
Right.
So I was just watching.
Yeah, it's a preseason game. Yeah.
It's the first preseason game. I'm a rookie quarterback. I'm watching Dan Marino play a whole half of football, and he's playing the Chicago Bears, and of course it's Mike Singletary and all the guys, and that, you know, my eyes are just as big as quarters.
But people aren't really going 100% those starters because it's the preseason.
Alex, I didn't know that. All I knew was the first game I was in. I thought this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we go in halftime, and I would say 80% of the team lights up a cigarette as soon as we get in the locker room.
That's insane.
And they're all just like, boy, I'm so out of shape. And, whoa, I got to get, you know, this, you know, because it's the first game that you have.
Do you think that kind of stuff still happens in 2021?
By the time my career ended, nobody smoked.
You couldn't. Was it a league mandate, too? Can't do any of that stuff?
No. I never was told. There was never anything. Now, there were things like you can't represent beer companies in endorsements. There's no gambling. There's no association. I mean, there were things but that was never, hey, you can't smoke. And a lot of coaches smoked even still, you know. But
funny, you remember baseball? All the games, like, you know, basketball, football, these, you know, you would never see a coach smoking somewhere there on the sidelines in the more recent past. But I remember growing up and watching Sparky Anderson and Jim Leland, or Jim Leland more, I guess.
Professional golfers smoke. I mean, you know, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, while they're
playing. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. It's wild. To think about that going into an NFL game and watching guys light up at halftime.
They would hold the cigarette inward. So you know.
Right.
Couldn't,
yeah, almost, know, like they're trying to hide it. Yeah.
Right.
That's wild. All right. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. Jeremiah Jensen, after news, traffic, and weather, is going to join us. We've got a lot to talk about. Jazz are playing right now. I've got that score update for you. It was so early beforehand, they hadn't even tipped off yet. So we'll get you our first score update of the evening. Stay with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold.
In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.